Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today, we begin at the end, where the Lord Jesus gives a parable about a vineyard owner who plants a fig tree. For 3 years, this owner comes seeking fruit from his fig tree, but he continues to bear nothing. He was determined to cut it down. After all, it was a waste of space. Yet the vine dresser, the caretaker of the vineyard, convinces him, wait one more year. Purpose of this parable certainly serves as a picture of Jesus' perception of the holy city, of Jerusalem herself. Over and over again through his ministry, the Lord Jesus brought the message of his gospel to the people of Jerusalem. Even that was just a fraction of all the time God had brought the promise of salvation to his people throughout the Old Testament time. They were not willing to listen over and over again. Later in Luke 13, we hear of Jesus lamenting over Jerusalem because her people would not receive the gospel, would not receive Jesus. Still, Jesus knows what he has come to do. And even Jerusalem's full rejection of him as the Christ would not prevent his mission. Jesus' words, then, in this parable serve as a word of promise for those awaiting his redemption, but also as a word of warning for those who refuse him. Now, it is true that God has shown great patience throughout all of history. Many, even among Christians, have interpreted God's patience as tolerance for sin. They conclude then that God must not really be angered by the sins of this world. They've even come to believe that as those who are all about love and acceptance as Christians, because the gospel will win out, that there is no room for law or judgment or condemnation. This is especially frustrating for devout Christians who know in their God-given conscience that sin remains sin. We believe God cannot be pleased with mankind's indifference to evil, to immorality, to sin. In fact, we know that God hates sin. He utterly despises it as the atrocity against him that it is. And one look at the cross with the crucified Christ upon it is all the reminder that we need of how God views sin, that he must punish sin. He must and he will, as we are reminded even in today's scripture reading. From our intro, it's the psalm. David, as psalmist, teaches about God. You are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evil doers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. And even though sins get treated nonchalantly by our world today, God still takes them completely seriously. each and every second of every day is filled with billions of people living lives apart and even against God's will, sinning in thought, in word, in deed. Yet He is patient. He does not strike us down instantly. God does permit some consequences to immediately follow sin, but others He seemingly allows to go unpunished. But whatever God decides is always good. And what we need to remember is that God always sees, and God always knows. No one is getting away with anything before God. And that includes you and me. We have a tendency in our day-to-day lives to compare ourselves with others around us. And when we see that someone else in life is more complacent in their sin than we are, it makes us feel better about ourselves. At least we're not as bad as those guys are. It becomes very easy to point out those simple specks in the eyes of everyone else while ignoring the elephant of a log in our own eyes. Now, this is not to lessen the severity of the sins of this world all around us, but on the contrary, when we magnify the seriousness of all the sin around us, we're reminded of just how big our own sin truly is. Now, biblically speaking, the only thing that truly separates the church from the world is Jesus. Faith and trust in Him. The only thing that distinguishes between a Christian and a non-Christian is belief in the Savior. We all remain sinners all the same. But for those who believe, His righteousness covers over that sin. But only through that faith, only through the grace given in holy baptism, through the word of the gospel. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, what was the point of telling Jesus this story if it was not to spark a conversation about which sin is greater? Such an argument, whenever it arises, conveniently forgets that all remain sinners. All are in need of mercy. Galileans were Jews, too, living in the northern region of Israel. Jesus, Peter, Andrew, James, John were all Galilean Jews. But at some point during a festival celebration in Jerusalem, Pontius Pilate had executed some Galilean Jews in the temple of Jerusalem. Their spilt blood in that execution was mixed with the blood of the sacrifices offered up before God. And this was forbidden according to the law of God. This was an atrocity before Him. And for something so horrendous to occur, and to these Galilean Jews, these Jerusalem Jews expected that these Galileans had certainly done something really nasty to anger God in such a way. When we hear of a mass murderer or a terrorist losing their life, we cannot help but sigh a bit of relief that these individuals are no longer a threat. And when we are reminded of the corruption and careless attitudes of our fellow human beings, we think that it is good and just what is coming to them. At the same time, Jesus' words should resurface in our own minds do you think that all these others are worse sinners than all the rest?" And he answers, "No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus brings up the incident of the Tower of Siloam in Jerusalem, falling on and killing 18 people. Jerusalem, Jews, most likely. Were those 18 more sinful than others who have not faced such tragedy? And Jesus states that they were no worse at all. Instead, Jesus uses these illustrations to teach everyone around him, disciples and opponents alike, you are all sinners. You all need to repent. No matter how great you think that you are doing in this life, you're never free from the need for repentance, confession, absolution, the Lord's Supper. This is perhaps our greatest struggle as Christians, as God's people. We know, we are assured that we have eternal life with Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us, what he has given to us freely. Yet we are continually reminded that we are sinners, that we deserve God's present and eternal punishment, that we need to repent. This is so necessary because we are, in this life, both saint and sinner at the same time. Old Adam and new Adam all the way through. Now, it's only right to feel zeal for God's word when it is transgressed by the world around us. But do we feel the same zeal when we transgress that same word of God? God's word makes it clear that he does not overlook these sins. He knows each and every one of them well. And everyone who commits them will be accountable to God completely and fully. For those who reject Jesus as the Savior, who do not believe in him for the forgiveness of sins, that judgment will fall upon them completely. They will be left to pay the full price for their sin. But the greatest news is that this need not be. God sent his only begotten Son, his prized treasure, into this world of sin to be our Savior. Jesus has paid the full price for all sin completely. It is finished, he has said. Every sin ever committed by any human being stands forgiven in Jesus. All then that is needed from sinners is repentance. All that is needed is faith. God has made it all possible through Jesus, his act of grace. He has declared this as the truth in his own precious word. And he invites everyone to believe in Jesus. And through the waters of holy baptism, you do believe that word. You have come to faith in Jesus Christ by the working of God's Holy Spirit through the gracious word of the gospel. You are forgiven in Jesus' name. And you have eternal life in and through him. God is truly patient with all mankind. And in his perfect justice, he does not tolerate sin. And he must punish it. And in Jesus, he has. That is grace upon grace that God gives you. Eternal life in his only dear Son. Amen. the peace that passes all understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and to life everlasting. Amen.